Hey everybody, I'm Nathan.
I'm Cameron.
And we are the Super Budget Brothers. Every single week we come here, we play a budget title, we tell you about it, and give it a rating. We just try to make sure you don't blow your hard-earned money, even if it's a little bit. And Chris is actually missing because he's, I don't know, helping hurricane victims or something like that.
Boo!
I know, really. So, apparently they're more important than us.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Whatever, Chris. Thanks for blowing us off. But this week we played Moonbase Alpha, which is a free game put out by NASA. So it's an odd one. It's different than things we've played for the most part.
Yeah.
It's mostly third person. You can actually play it first person, but I didn't. You can play it third person. You run around. You're an astronaut on the moon, and you're trying to help these people, other people on the moon, not aliens or anything. They have their little base set up and their solar panels, and they're trying to generate oxygen, essentially. So they have all their pipes and everything set up, and a meteor comes and just smashes a bunch of it to crap. So it's all damaged. Some of the pieces are just irreparably broken. And it's your job in 25 minutes to get the oxygen pumping again so they don't die. Which, it's kind of supposed to be, I guess, an educational game, but not really. I think the idea was more to drum up, like, hey, moon is cool, dudes. Support NASA.
Yeah,
but, I mean, it does have educational elements to it. Like, it explains, see, these are the solar panels. This is what it does. It passes through here. This is another thing that does this. And kind of explains how they generate oxygen on the moon.
Yeah, I just skipped that part.
Totally did. Yep.
Education is lame.
Nope, not going to happen. Not on my watch. So, yeah, that's great. So we played an semi-educational game this week, and neither of us learned squat.
Nope.
But we do have very differing views on the game from what I've gleaned.
Yeah.
So this should be an interesting episode. You run around third person. You can control little robots, and you can drive them around, and they can weld things. You have to use a torch and a welder. Or a torch. Wow. A torch and a wrench.
Yeah.
I knew what I meant. So you run up. You have to fix different things. It takes a certain amount of time. And time, of course, is the most valuable asset you have, because you have 25 minutes total to fix a myriad of things that have broken. Repairing every single thing pretty much involves you running up, clicking on it when you have the appropriate tool, and then it starts fixing. It has its own timer for how long it takes to repair. Once in a while, it'll pop up a pseudo circuit board, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
And it would have two points highlighted with a box around it. And the idea was you can quote unquote solder it and click on one and hold it and scoot to the other node. And if you soldered it correctly, then you would get an extra bonus. You know, it would remove seconds from the time it takes to fix it. They progressively get harder as you do them correctly. So you get higher levels in it. Not your person leveling up, but they actually say this is a level 6 difficulty. And if you finish that, it gives you a higher bonus, more seconds off. If you miss one, it goes back down. That's about it, though. You run around on the moon and fix things. And there's a few different tools and vehicles. There's one vehicle you can ride, one vehicle that is the robot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not that complex.
Yes. Now, when I first downloaded the game, I was excited to play it. Saw it's powered by the Unreal Engine, which I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Unreal on the moon. Knowing that it wasn't going to contain violence, though.
which is one thing. It totally doesn't.
Yeah. And I was pretty underwhelmed by this game. I didn't like it very much. The gameplay is pretty slow. I mean, you do have to consider that you are in space. So your guy walks really slow. Like, you can go places faster if you jump there continuously, because for some reason you move faster through the air, I think.
I don't think so. I thought it was the same rate.
Oh, maybe. Maybe it just seems like you're doing something. I don't know. But walking places takes forever in this game. And there's nothing you can do at the same time as you're walking. You're just like, because, like you said, the point of the game is to fix these things, which means you have to get to them or go get the tools and then get back to that particular place.
Right.
So there is a lot of movement going on, but the movement's so slow and there's no like secondary objective that you can work on while you're moving. You're just walking.
Yeah, it's very focused.
That bothered me.
A focused experience. Yeah, you're walking, and then you get to a thing, and you fix it. And they're spread out. But I think that was intentional. A, because you're on the moon, so, you know, walking takes some time. But it really encourages time management. Now, that's what the entire game is based around. And so you're having to load tools onto this truck, which takes time, and then you can hop in the truck and drive, and it moves like 10 times what your walking speed is. But it's kind of unwieldy and a little hard to drive at times, and it gets stuck in small places. So you drive it somewhere, you hop out, you unload your tools, you go and fix the thing, and then you have to pick up a different tool to move a thing. Like it seems like the idea is to plan accordingly and be efficient rather than be fast, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, with the tool thing, like you were saying, you drop your tools. And then, here's one thing else that bothered me.
Okay.
You can only, like for the robot, or to use the computer, it requires... Okay, you use a computer to get your tools. We'll start there.
Yeah.
You have like a supply depot. It's really like a supply closet, sort of, in the middle of nowhere. And you use a computer to get the tools out of it. To use the computer, it requires two hands, which means if you have a tool, you have to drop the tool.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have already dropped a tool at the computer, then you can't drop another tool, because there has to be enough open space for the tool to land.
Right.
So I would have to, I go to the computer to get something, and then it's like, oh, you need one hand, or you need two hands. You only have one, because I'm carrying a solderer or whatever, a welder.
Sure.
And I'll be like, oh, okay, so then I'll turn around to drop it, and I can't drop it because I already dropped the wrench. So I have to like walk out a few feet, drop my soldering gun, turn around, and walk back to the computer to get another tool. And that's another thing that I just kind of found like, I don't know. If you have a computer that's mainly just to get items, I don't know why you'd need two hands to use it. Why you can't just like put a wrench on top of a soldering. I mean the item thing just kind of was weird to me. I mean, it all lends to that same thing, the time management, but I don't know. It got kind of unbearable to me.
Sure.
It's everything. You can only carry one thing, or, you know, fixing things. Okay, let's go over fixing things.
Okay.
So like Nate said, when you're fixing something, it gives you like a time of like how long it's going to take to fix it. Mm-hmm. And you're basically sitting there until that time's gone. You can take extra time off of the clock by doing these random soldering
minigame things,
that it gives you. But you don't get to decide when those come up. And sometimes they'll be like one right after the other, right after the other. And sometimes they're spaced out quite a bit.
I couldn't figure out what the mechanic was to get those to pop up. I didn't know if it was time based or what.
Yeah, I don't know. There's this little thing, because there's a clock saying like how much time's left to fix it. But then there's like the circle with little colors inside of it, and it like spins. But I don't know if that like
I think that was more just to keep you occupied, something to look at while it's sitting there, because this is going to take a minute to solve. You know?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing that I was like, you go up to one of the severely damaged pieces, and it'll be like 2.5 minutes to fix or something like that. If you don't do any of the soldering part of it.
Right.
And I was like, oh man, you just have to sit here for 2.5 minutes. After it took me 2.5 minutes to walk here from the supply closet or whatever.
Right.
And it just seemed like the gameplay was so slow to me. And I guess that just made it not fun for me, personally.
Fair enough.
The soldering connections didn't really liven it up. It was nice to have a bit of a change, and you didn't just have to sit there, and there was actually like a way that you could speed up the process. But I think I would have maybe put in different types of things to do instead of just the same soldering as the only way to speed up.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. But it, we'll see. Yeah. And you're kind of against the game then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm pretty for the game. I actually love this game. I played it mostly on my own, but it seems to push towards multiplayer. It wants you to play multiplayer. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because then, you know, it takes 2.5 minutes to get somewhere, but you can both hop in a truck because you can have up to 6 people playing at once, which is kind of impressive. I mean, that's a lot of people for this type of game. Once you play the game, you see kind of how it's structured. It's kind of cool. But once you have multiple people, then you can actually remotely drive the trucks. So you can have someone stay at the base and drive a truck back to them, run out to the toolkit, you know, put toolboxes onto the back and then drive it out to the people who are in need while they're working on other things. You could have a guy who's solely doing the robots, trying to go into the contaminated area, fix that stuff. And then you can have 2 guys running along the pipeline, reconnecting things, using the wrenches to clean it up. One guy's fixing the solar panels. You know, you can divvy up the tasks and then be focused on, I'm helping the common good by fixing this thing. I need to focus here. And I like the soldering minigame. Because it starts out really simple and you get maybe 2 or 3 seconds knocked off, and it ramps up, and I was getting like 9 seconds knocked off on some of the higher levels, and you would get them, you know, 3 or 4 for maybe a minute. So you're cutting the time almost in half,
yeah,
which is pretty good. But if I was playing with, like, I don't want to say little kids, but younger players who aren't as good, or people just who aren't as good, they would still be helpful. Even if they missed every single soldering minigame, they're bound to hit one once in a while, because it breaks it down into, here's a single path, because the higher levels have multiple paths you have to do in a time limit. So they, you know, the first ones are, here's one line, you have to draw it inside the lines and you get 10 seconds to do it. It's just a little short line. So eventually they're going to hit one of those. They're going to feel, yeah, I helped. It's even faster. But even if they mess up every single one, they're going to fix it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That it's not, this kid is worthless because he can't do the soldering puzzles. It's, he's still helping, but it goes faster if he's good at it. Mm-hmm. Which is good. That was a great decision on their part. Again, you can play it single player. It took me a couple of times, but I finally did beat it solo. But it is a lot of time management. Once I figured out, load the toolbox, you know, from the thing, because then you don't have to put down multiple tools from the shed. You just get the toolbox, because it has a wrench and a couple of torches, and then put it on the back of the truck, drive the truck because it's fast, fix this part first, get the robot. You have to get close enough to use the robot, because if it goes out of range, it stops working. So you have to pick up the thing and move it closer and then plop it down again. But it felt, to use a horrible pun, it felt otherworldly playing it, because it is kind of a slow, methodical pace to it, and I felt stress playing the game. Not overwhelming, oh goodness, but every, you know, at the 20-minute mark, the 15-minute mark, 10-minute mark, 5-minute mark, these people who are in this base you're trying to save will kind of contact you on the radio, and you can't interact with them, but they say, hey, how are those repairs coming? We're kind of noticing the oxygen loss now. And you're going, holy crap, these people are going to literally suffocate on the moon if I don't do this. So, you know, I'm the one guy out there trying to run around and weld everything and hook up certain lines and, you know, purify their oxygen so they can breathe again. And meanwhile, it's really slow, very deliberate, I guess, is the pacing. It's very deliberate. It's, I get in, I have to slowly get off my thing, making sure I don't tear my suit, because then I'm dead and everyone's dead. And then I run over and pick up the welder, and I'm working on this thing as fast as I can, and they're going, look, we're seriously in trouble. How's everything going? And I'm going, shut up, I'm trying to fix it. I'm working on it. And I'm missing soldering puzzles and getting aggravated because of it, because now I'm going to die. And I don't know. I felt really tense. The music behind it was very... it wasn't spooky. It was a very calm, softer music, which then became spooky because of the situation. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like a darker game. It's not overtly dark, and you don't, you know, if you lose, you don't hear people screaming, oh, we're being... you know, it's a very, I would say, kid-friendly game. as in there's no violence, you're just fixing things, trying to help people, and you know, you're in an astronaut suit jumping around on the moon. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But it's dark when you take a step back and look at it. It's kind of a heavier game than I expected it to be. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I really, you touched on it just barely. I actually really like the music
yeah.
in this game. It was done really well, and it's not, like, gimmicky or anything. It sound, if I'm not mistaken, it sounded like, I don't pay too much attention
sure.
to music. But it sounded like a good orchestral score
yes.
throughout the game, which is definitely different considering that it's a budget title. And we play budget titles, and most of them don't have the budget for that.
No, not at all.
So that was a nice surprise.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and the I'm just trying to think of. I just keep going back to the feeling. It's just darker than I thought it would, and I appreciated that. It made me actually care more about the game, and I loved that aspect. That the first time I lost, I felt bad. Even though it said, like, oh, the time's up. You didn't fix it in time. And you can just click restart right there and start again. But the guy's like, oh, no, this isn't good. You know, we kind of need oxygen. And that's it. It never, you know, it doesn't explicitly say you killed them or anything like that.
Oh, God.
But, right? It's not brutal, but it's a very, it's somber, I think is the word I'm looking for. It's very
yeah.
a calm, depressing state of things. You're
mm-hmm.
absolutely alone on this moon trying to fix everything, and you're the only guy there if you're playing solo, or if you're with your buddies it could get a little more frantic. You know, you're saying, look, how are those, you know, how are you doing with the robot drone fixing things? As I'm almost done out here, I can come help you if you need it. No, I got it, you worry about the solar thing, you know. And trying to work cooperatively seems like it would be kind of the goal of the game, because it does talk about how out on the moon, you really only have each other to count on. Because it's not like, you know, the government can say, oh, we're going to send a rescue team. That doesn't happen on the moon. So
<Yeah.
laughs> so it was a really cool premise for a game. And again, non-violent. You're just, you know, there's no bad guys or anything. You're just running around fixing things. So
yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
One other thing that bothered me, and this is like the only point that I have left against it on my notes here, is I found the action navigation difficult to work for some reason. When you go up to the computer to get tools or to fix something, you'll click on it and then there'll be like a circle menu.
It's
on.
Yeah, it's a selection wheel. Kind of, it reminded me of The Sims.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, it looks something. Like something similar that I played with.
Yeah, it's The Sims.
Yeah, The Sims. And so then the selection will come up, and then you pick from there what action you want to do. There's typically like only two actions, maybe even one. But when there's one action, the center of the wheel would be cancel, and then the one action would be like fix. And I'd be moving my mouse up to try to get it to select fix, and it wouldn't quite get there. So
yeah.
I'd have to like go over and over and over and finally get to fix after wasting a few seconds.
Yeah.
and in a time-oriented game, that frustrates me.
Yeah, I hear you.
But yeah, and I have that problem consistently, which is a problem to me in a time-sensitive game. You're not losing a ton of time, but it's just kind of something like if you're hurrying, trying to finish a task, and every single time it takes you a couple seconds to actually start
yeah.
the task, that kind of gets annoying. But
I really, and I didn't have the same issues with the UI. I thought it was a little silly that they did it that way. It seemed like, especially since 99% of the things you do is one choice.
Yeah.
it should have had you click on it and it starts doing an action and maybe gives you a little text prompt in the bottom, you know, connecting pipe. And he
yeah.
goes down and he starts putting it together. And if you want to do it, which it had, you just left click again and he'll stop. Well, then why not have that in the first place?
That's a
you know,
that's
why
what
drag?
I thought. Well, I'll be approaching like this pipe connector or something, and it's broken. Like, there's, when something's broken, there's a little icon that appears above it, and it goes from, I think, think yellow to red. Is that right?
Yellow, orange, severity. And red. Yeah.
Yeah. For how severe it's damaged. And so you'll go up, you know that's broken. Obviously, the only thing you're going to do is fix it. but you walk up and you're like looking at it. And your astronaut's just staring at it. It's like, do you want to fix this or do you want to walk away from it? Well, I came all the way here. I guess I better fix it.
Yeah, might as well.
It's like, it seems like if you click on the thing, you're going to be fixing it. Like,
right.
I don't know why that's even an extra step in there. But.
Yeah, and with the multiple choices, you know, it could have been you click on it and it brings up a list, one and two, and you just hit one or two to do them. Yeah, they could have done the UI a little bit better. But I personally didn't run into issues, so I can't fault it for that. But also, can we talk about the graphics?
I guess. Just kidding. Because
they're not stupendous, but they really work for what the game is.
Yeah.
Like, I know people probably just rolled their eyes and said, yeah, it's the freaking moon. Like, what do you, you know, it's gray with some circles drawn on it. What do you want?
Yeah.
But it looks really good. Your guys leave footprints. Your helmet dynamically changes, not as a direct reflection to the, you know, the real world. I think they just didn't program that in. But it does actually change. If you lean down, then the whole thing suddenly is ground instead of a skyline, which I thought was a nice little touch. But there's parts that have like that coppery tone, and it's the crumpled foil. You know what I'm talking about? It looks like a space blanket.
Yeah.
That looked really good.
Yeah.
Like, I was impressed by how well things were built. You know, you can tell it was budget, but it looks good.
Yeah, there's other things. If you go into first-person view, when you look towards the sun, there's, like flare, on like lens flare.
Oh, okay.
On your screen. And then the closer you get to the sun, the more flary it becomes until you're nearly facing it, and then it just gets really bright and white.
Oh.
and it's hard to see. There's shadows on the ground that move with whatever's moving, which is typically just you and the vehicles. Mm-hmm. But the shadows are dynamic and change when the arms on the robot move and stuff like that. The graphics are pretty good, especially considering that it's not... I mean, it's a game that they weren't they obviously weren't looking to make money off of. It's not like some big title game or anything, but the graphics are done better than any graphics we've seen in the same style, I would say.
Definitely. And honestly, better than I expected.
Oh yeah.
Like when I opened it up, I went, oh, okay. I can work with this. This is nicer than I thought. So that was a nice change, you know, go ahead.
Oh, the one thing that we talked about this right before we started recording, although there are no bad guys, we found it entertaining that you can hallucinate. Get space dementia.
Yeah, well, let's explain that. Yeah, because the normal game is a group of 1 to 6 people and every pair of people. So 1 to 2 has a specific map. It's a little map that's manageable for 1 or 2 people. 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 have bigger maps, respectively. And then you can do kind of a two-team versus mode, almost, which is there are 2 bases set up identical to the 1 to 2 player level, and they're red and blue team, and you have to finish your base before the other team. And all your stuff is broken, and you suspect it's because they have space dementia, and they came over and sabotaged it, thinking you guys were evil. And so go ahead. Yeah.
This game play is done. Usually there's the sun out, like I was saying with the solar flare and stuff. This one's done in the dark and everybody has flashlights.
Yeah.
And I don't know what like the criteria is to start hallucinating, if it just happens randomly or if you need to be out.
Yeah, I think it's just time-based. Like, oh, you haven't freaked out in a minute. Let's have a hallucination.
And it does these hallucinations, and they're not like, I don't even know. Like, okay, the one that showed up most often for me would be a red astronaut. I was on the blue team, so then a red astronaut would obviously be from the other team. And it would just like, he'd be in the air or crouch down or something, and he would just appear in front of you. and then and then he would just like disappear. Or your flashlight like flickers sometimes, or it turns off for a second and then it'll turn back on.
Mm-hmm.
And and when it turns back on, there'd be like a ghost face there or something, and then it would just disappear.
Well, and the other two that I ran into is sometimes there's just like an explosion of skulls that just kind of, you're walking along and out of the ground just a bunch of skulls will spew out and then they'll just disappear. And then the other one, which I found really disturbing, because I'm running around and I was actually playing with other people and I was kneeling down repairing something, and it was between the mini games, the soldering game, so it was just me looking at my guy bent over fixing something. And then this little girl in a hospital gown appeared in front of me. And I was like, what the crap is that? Oh! And then it disappeared. And I was like, what?
I actually did have that one, but I didn't even know what it was, because when it appeared in front of me, it was just the very bottom of the gown and feet. And it was so high in the air that I didn't see anything but the feet and the gown. And then when I went to look up, it had already disappeared.
Weird.
So I didn't even know what it was. It was just feet.
But in that,
and and a little bit of turquoise, you know.
Well, and that mode, you can actually play it one player, which is what we did just to experience it.
Yeah.
It's just to goof around. And you hallucinate, and it's all dark. And it's the same thing. You don't really have a time limit because you're just racing the red team, which has no people. So you can just kind of take your time and do it in the dark. It makes it a little more challenging, and if you want to time yourself for 25 minutes, see if you can do it under harsher conditions, then that could be a fun little challenge for yourself. But playing with other people is interesting, because I only played it for a little bit and I was fixing things, and then I realized, wait, it's not like you're separated. There, you do have two distinct bases, but you can walk over to the other guy's base.
Yeah.
And so if you have a wrench, you can just start unplugging their pipes and just mess with their stuff, and there's no way to attack other people. There's still no violence. So you can just sit there and harass all their stuff while they're trying to fix it. So you can have little saboteurs go over and mess with their stuff, which is kind of fun. And then there is voice chat. There is also text chat, and an option, which I highly recommend you turn on, that is text-to-speech. And it uses the same program that Stephen Hawking uses. So everyone sounds like Stephen Hawking typing to each other, and it's amazing. I mean, that's all there is to it. It's amazing.
Well, let's be honest. If you play online, as with pretty much any game you play online, chances are it won't be as kid friendly as the game is without playing
that's
online.
That's true.
But that's another thing that you mentioned earlier is, the game is supposed to be educational, although there's not a lot of educational points to it.
Sure.
But it's definitely kid friendly, and it's family friendly too. Like if you wanted to play with your kids, or just let your kids play by themselves, it's totally fine for that. It's something, I mean, you can feel accomplished by, you know, fixing the stuff. It's something that your kids can actually help you with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're going to be carrying them as a burden through the game.
No, skill is rewarded, but not necessary.
Yeah,
which
and
good.
so that's another positive point to it. It's definitely an all ages game and something that you can experience with people that aren't video game
connoisseurs.
Yeah,
totally. So, no, you didn't like it much. I really liked it.
Yeah,
like
I
really liked it.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
All right, well, and it's completely free. You just go to, we'll have the link in the show notes, of course, but you can go to NASA site and it's on there, and you just download it and play it. That's it. It does play through Steam, so you do have to have Steam installed. You can also find it through the Steam Store if you'd rather do that. But
yeah,
are you about ready to wrap it up?
Yeah, sure.
No, okay. So, what do you think rating wise?
Okay, so so like we said before, I didn't really like the game. I think the gameplay is just too slow for me.
Sure.
Which, I mean, you'll recognize if you play many video games, when you start playing it, you'll recognize that the gameplay is pretty slow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not like any additional objectives other than just doing the fixing stuff. So for me, the fun ran out pretty quick. Just because I guess I'm just not into the style, the game style.
Sure.
There is the time limit to do things, but for me, I didn't really feel any pressure due to it. Yeah, I don't know. I gave it a 4 out of 10.
Wow, really below average.
A little below average, yeah.
Oh goodness, this is going to be a weird one. Because I absolutely, completely, and utterly loved this game.
Ugh.
Oh, loved it. It was incredible. It was just the haunting atmosphere, even though it wasn't trying to be a horror game. I just felt it was very heavy once you thought about what was happening, but it didn't have to be heavy if it was just me playing with, you know, either a younger sibling or a friend or something like that. And it's just like, hey, let's fix it in the time limit. And there's also a free play mode, so you can not be constrained by the time and just, you know, goof around with. Again, we keep aiming it towards younger kids, which makes sense. Like, this is actually a good one to play with younger gamers. So you're all wandering around, fixing things. I loved the different time aspects. It did have a few little wonky things to it that I wasn't too crazy about, but once I learned how to work the system around it, I thought it actually added a little bit. Like, how you had to, you know, your tools take time to pick up and put down. And,
yeah,
you know, once you learn, oh, that means I have to pick up the wrench and bring it over and then put it down where I can use it again, pick up the torch, fix this thing, put it down, then pick up the wrench and fix these other things, you know, and you start to plan your approach. Mm-hmm. I kind of enjoyed it. Like, I have to say, I really liked this game. Online was fun because everyone had, you know, space crazy, and we were all seeing ghosts and stuff, and everyone was just typing in chat and making fun of each other, and it was just everyone goofing off, and that was fun too. So I can see you playing alone for a more morose kind of creepy experience, playing with friends for a really good cooperative experience where planning and tactics actually matter, where, you know, you take care of this half, I have to take care of this half, we can help each other at this point. It works. And playing with a bunch of people online, you could just goof off and have a good time. So I have to highly disagree with you, Cameron. And I'm serious. I'm going to play this again. I'm going to try to, like, get my time down a little bit. I love this game so much. It's beautiful. It's fun. I'm giving it a 10.
Oh my gosh.
I think this is one of the best free games you can play. Period. I think this is a phenomenal game. I think it was incredible. It blew my mind, yo.
Oh, God.
Dude, I loved this game too much.
Oh, man.
So I'm going to give it a 10, even though you gave it a 4.
Holy cow.
Overall, the Super Budget Brothers give it a 7.
This is just like back in the day.
When, yeah, right?
It was me and you most of the time, and... and we would disagree nearly every week.
Yeah, well, and so 7 overall, it's a pretty good one, but, you know, definitely listen to the feedback, and if you agree more with Cameron, don't pick it up. If you agree more with me, you have to pick it up. So this really is a personal taste one, as evidenced by our scores. Yeah. But I thought it was really good. Now, we went a little long on this one because Chris wasn't here to, you know, ruin everything. So that's why. But he should be back next episode. And we need to talk to you, dear listeners, about next episode. You'll notice when we went back and everyone had their uncontested pick for a game, I did not have one. And that's because we decided that November, we're going to go ahead and take off for holiday-related hullabaloo. So we're going to go ahead and take the month of December off. We'll come back January with a game that we're going to be playing all December. It's kind of the granddaddy of hardcore, impenetrably difficult to learn games. It is absolutely free. It is supposedly the most fun you can have if you're a neckbeard. For the next month, we are going to be playing Dwarf Fortress. If you don't know what Dwarf Fortress is, There's a startup video that we found to teach you the very, very basics of the game that is 2.5 hours long. And that is paltry compared to what you can actually do with this.
Yeah, that's like the minimum. That's like if you want to understand what's happening in the game, you need to have that tutorial.
So
that's
this...
not even being successful.
No. And the hardcore advocates of the game describe failing as fun. You only have fun when you lose and then start again. Because you will always lose and start again. This game is kind of the beast. It is the holy grail of, again, impenetrably hard games. Honestly, I think one or two of us will probably just flunk out and not quite get a grasp of it by the end. But hopefully one of us comes through and figures out what the heck's going on. So we're going to have the entire month. We're going to go ahead and have holiday time all through December. We'll come back January. We'll give you our review of Dwarf Fortress, and then we'll start fresh from there. But until then, have happy holidays, and I think we're done.